Told me to make you a piece of pottery? Iris walked back to my desk as I unwrapped the vase I'd made. Since I was rusty at the wheel, it had taken me a dozen tries to get the shape right, but in the end, it had come out even better than I'd expected. I'd spent all weekend at the painted pot, where I'd bisque-fired and painted the vase, but it still needed to be glazed and go back into the kiln. It's not done. It needs more finishing and more baking, but I wanted you to see it and know that I made it for you. Iris took the vase from my hand. I'd painted it with vibrant purple irises. I was happy with the way it looked, but suddenly nervous about giving it to her. Even more so since I'd gotten a look at the fancy art pieces around the office.
This is magnificent. You really made this yourself.
She turned the vase to get a good look at the full piece. Yes, it's not my best work. I'm sort of rusty. She looked up at me.
Then I'm dying to see your best work, Charlotte. This is stunning. Look at the detail and shading on the flowers and the delicate shape of the piece. You don't make pottery. You make art.
Thank you. Like I said, it's not done yet, but I wanted you to know I'd kept my word and made it. She handed it back to me.
This means a lot to me. I go with my instincts, and I wasn't wrong about you. I have a feeling today is the first day of great things for you.
After she left my office, I felt like I was on cloud nine. I finished filling out all the forms Liz had given me, and then decided to go get some tissues to wrap the vase in before covering it with the newspaper. Since the vase wasn't glazed yet, the bottom of it had a little ink smear that must have rubbed off from the paper. I didn't want it to get any other ink stains, so I took the vase with me to see if I could clean it before packing it again. Stepping out of my office, I turned left to head to the kitchen before realizing that I'd gone the wrong way. I stopped and started to walk in the other direction. Only I hadn't looked where I was going first. On the second step, I crashed right into someone. I fumbled the vase in my hands as I rebounded off a hard chest. I'd almost made it, almost steadied myself back upright and avoided dropping the product of my entire weekend. But then I made the mistake of looking up at the person I'd collided with. The vase slipped from my hands right before I went down on my ass.
What the?
The man sank down in front of me.
Are you all right?
I could only blink in response, stunned into silence amid shattered ceramic pieces. He looked so different without the scowl on his face that it made me wonder if perhaps I was mistaken. Perhaps it was just a man who looked eerily similar. Until he got a good look at me. A slow and wicked smile crossed his handsome face. There was no mistake. The man that sucked the breath from my body a second time was definitely Reed Eastwood.
Chapter 6. Reed. Blinking my eyes wasn't working. She was still here. I wasn't seeing things. It was really her, in my place of business. That platinum blonde hair. Those icy blue eyes. Nordic Barbie from the other day, Charlotte Darling, was flat on her ass before me, looking scared like she'd seen a ghost. I stood, extended my hand, and helped her up. If I scare her so much, why does she continue to stalk me? There wasn't much time to think before the words exited my mouth. Are you taking your show on the road, Miss Darling? I don't recall buying tickets to Crazy Town. What are you doing here?
Ugh.
She shook her head as if coming out of a daze and placed her hand on her chest. Reed Eastwood, what are you doing here? What kind of a game is she playing? You're asking me what I am doing at my own company? Who let you into my offices? Seeming flustered, she looked down and adjusted her skirt. I work here. She what? My blood was pumping. Even though I'd let her come to that penthouse appointment to berate her for playing games and wasting my time, afterward I'd regretted acting so harshly. But she was totally justifying how I'd acted. You know, I actually felt a little sorry for you when you stormed out of the Millennium upset the other day. But your coming here is out of line. How did you get through security? My mention of the S word triggered something in her. The same woman who had been cowering a few seconds ago straightened her body and glared at me. I should have remembered from last time that the one sure way to get her to snap was to mention security. Leaning in, she raised her voice. Stop threatening to call security on me. Did you not hear me say that I work here? The smell of something sweet on her breath made me lose my train of thought for a brief moment. Glazed donut, maybe. I was quickly snapped out of that momentary loss of focus when she closed her eyes and began moving her fingers frantically as if she were typing. Actually, that's exactly what she was doing, typing something in the air. I had to ask, "What in God's name are you doing?" She continued the motion as she spoke. I'm typing all the things I really want to say to you, to get it all out without actually having to say the words. Trust me, this is what's best for both of us. Her fingers kept moving. I couldn't help but laugh under my breath. You'd rather look like a complete spaz than say what's on your mind. She finally stopped moving her fingers. Yes. Did you remember to hit send? I mocked. Charlotte didn't find my sarcasm funny. Telling you what I was thinking would have been unprofessional. I don't want to risk losing my job on the very first day. I see you learned a lot about professionalism during your time at D's Nuts. Screw you. Whoa. Someone needs a backspace key. Jesus. Now I was actually enjoying messing with her, engaging the crazy. I needed to remind myself that she was trespassing. Tell me again how you got in here, Miss Darling. Because you sure as hell don't work here. This is my company. I can assure you I would have noticed if I'd hired you. My grandmother appeared and interrupted. Technically, it's my company. She turned to Charlotte. I apologize for my grandson's behavior. Grandson? Charlotte pointed her index finger while looking back and forth between my grandmother and me. He is your grandson. That's the guy I told you about in the bathroom that day, the pretentious asshole realtor. I'm sorry, Charlotte. Apparently I hadn't put two and two together. Despite her words, my grandmother didn't seem very surprised at all. I would have never imagined that the condescending prick you described was Reed. Bathroom, what are you talking about? I asked. Charlotte began to explain. When I left you at Millennium Tower, I went to use the restroom in the lobby. That was where I ran into Iris. I obviously had no idea she was your grandmother. She saw that I was upset. I told her everything that had happened with you during the showing. We stayed there a bit and talked, bonded. And that's when she offered me the personal assistant position here. Oh, hell no. Hell no. This woman was certifiable. There was no way she was going to have access to my personal dealings. Grandmother, can we speak in my office for a moment, please? Of course. She smiled before looking over at Charlotte, who had bent down to pick up the pieces of the broken vase. Why don't you head back to your office, Charlotte, and get acclimated to the company database? I've asked Stan from IT to meet you in your office if you have any questions. I'm sorry that the beautiful vase you made for me broke. You don't have to clean it up. I can get someone to do that. It's okay. I've got most of it. We may need someone to vacuum the shards, though. She stood up and dumped the broken pieces into a nearby trash can before turning to me with glaring eyes. Maybe Stan can work on getting a sensitivity chip installed into your grandson. He seems to be missing one. I snapped my fingers. They must have forgotten to put it back in when they installed my bullshit detector. I really need to stop enjoying this. Charlotte's eyes lingered on my stern gaze before she turned away from me. A strange feeling bubbled in my chest as I watched her blonde locks moving back and forth while she walked away. I knew it was guilt creeping in. My reaction to her was the only sensible one, given her craziness, but somehow I felt like a total asshole now. My grandmother quietly followed me into my office. I shut the door behind us. You know your day is going well when your own grandmother calls you a prick.
Well, you certainly act like one sometimes.
She seemed amused by my anger.
She's pretty, isn't she?
Sure, if you consider expressive eyes, luscious lips, and a body like a 1950s pinup pretty. More like kryptonite. Charlotte's physical beauty was undeniable, but there was absolutely no way I was going to acknowledge it. Crazy eclipses beauty. I grimaced. Grandmother, what are you trying to pull here? She'll be a great addition to our staff. Pointing back toward the door, I yelled, "That woman? That woman has no experience, not to mention she's crazy and a known liar. You should have seen the ridiculous thing she put on her application to see that penthouse." She grinned mockingly. "Dog surfing, I know." "You know about that, and you hired her anyway?" I started to pace, my blood pressure rising. "I'm sorry, but you need your head examined. How can you be okay with having her handle some of our most sensitive and personal business?" My grandmother took a seat on the sofa across from my desk, then said, "She didn't know what she was doing when she filled out that application. Didn't even remember doing it. It was a drunken lapse in sanity. We've all had nights like that. At least, I have. I'm not going to tell you everything we discussed because it's private, but there was a very good reason for her actions. I saw something in her that reminded me of myself. I think she has a determined spirit, and that's the type of vibrant energy we need here." Is she kidding? Vibrant. To me, Charlotte was like blinding sunlight shining into your face after a hangover. Vibrant, maybe, but most unwelcome. My grandmother was a kind and empathetic person who saw the good in people. I respected that, but had to wonder if she was being manipulated here. "She's a liar," I stressed again. "She lied? But she's not a habitual liar. There's a difference. She made a mistake. Charlotte opened up to me, a complete stranger. She didn't have to do that. She's one of the most honest people I've ever met." Crossing my arms, I shook my head in disbelief. "I can't work with her." "Her employment status isn't up for debate, Reed. You have plenty of money to hire your own personal assistant if you don't want to use the shared one, but I'm not firing her. She's going to have access to all of my personal information. Shouldn't I have a say in this?" "Why? Do you have something to hide?" "No, but you know what I think?" "What?" I huffed. "I haven't seen you this passionate about anything in a long time. Actually, not since the Christmas concert at Carnegie Hall." I cringed. "Can you please not remind me of that?" She loved bringing up my short stint in a boys' choir as a kid. I used to get really into the gleeful songs until I started to mature and began to see choir as a dorky hobby. I dropped out, and my grandmother continued to harp on the fact that I'd missed my calling. "Good or bad, that girl has lit a fire inside of you," she said. Glancing out the window at the traffic below, I refused to acknowledge any truth to that statement as heat permeated my skin. "Don't be ridiculous." My grandmother had touched a nerve. I knew deep down she was right. Charlotte had triggered something in me. It manifested itself as anger on the outside. But on the inside, it felt like this indescribable excitement. Yes, she had pissed me off for wasting my time during the showing that day. But by the time she'd lashed out at me and stormed out of the bedroom, she'd made an impression on me that I couldn't quite explain. I hadn't been able to stop thinking about her that entire night. I'd worried that I'd been too rough on her, that I'd inadvertently caused some kind of mental breakdown. I imagined her stumbling all over Manhattan with runny mascara, tripping over her own feet in those freaking heels. Eventually, I'd stopped thinking about it and hadn't thought about her again until she'd literally bumped into me moments ago. And just like that, all that bizarre energy rose to the surface again, once again expressing itself as anger toward her. But why? Why did I even care enough to let her get to me? My grandmother interrupted my train of thought. "I know that what happened with Allison really killed your spirit, but it's time to move on." The mention of Allison made my stomach ache. I wished my grandmother hadn't brought her into this. She continued, "You need a change of scenery. Since you're not going anywhere, I brought it to you by hiring Charlotte. I would rather see you out there bickering with her than alone in your office." You can't bicker with someone whose mode of communication is to silently airtype her side of the argument. "What? Christ, you didn't see her doing that? I couldn't help but chuckle. She said she didn't want to tell me what she was really thinking for fear of losing her job, so she pretended to be typing in the air like a loon to get it out of her system. This is the whack job you hired. My grandmother bent her head back in laughter. That's a great idea, actually. Some politicians should take lessons from her. We could all stand to learn from thinking before we speak, even if it means typing it instead of saying it. That's what I mean about her. She's unique. I rolled my eyes. She's unique, all right. Her expression softened as she placed her hand on my shoulder. Can you do me a favor and at least try to make her feel welcome? Doesn't sound like I have a choice. I sighed in exasperation. I'll take that as a yes. You can practice in the Hamptons tomorrow. She's going to be helping you at the Bridgehampton estate. Lorena is out all week. As we've done in the past, the company PA fills in when Lorena can't be there to assist during showings. Great. An entire day with her. She got up and headed toward the door before turning around one final time. Charlotte knows a thing or two about a broken heart. You have more in common with her than you think. It irked me whenever my grandmother alluded to my breakup with Allison. Not only did it have no place in this discussion, but it also forced me to have to think about things I was trying to forget. I'd really been making an effort to move on from the pain that went along with the end of that relationship. I stood staring out the window for the better part of the next half hour, twiddling my thumbs and trying to make sense of the fact that Charlotte now worked here. Her ending up here was definitely a bizarre coincidence. There was just no way we were going to be able to work together every day without constantly butting heads. I decided to head down to her office and set some ground rules, outline what my expectations were for the time she'd be working under me tomorrow. Under me. I quickly shook away the visual of her petite body beneath me. That was the funny thing about having disdain towards someone who was physically attractive. It was like a battle between mind and body, that under normal circumstances the body would be destined to win. But these weren't normal circumstances. Charlotte Darling was far from normal, and I needed to keep my guard up. Readying to give her a piece of my mind, I stomped down the hall and took a deep breath before opening the door to her office without knocking. The sight of my brother, Max, with his feet up on the couch, threw me for a loop. Although it shouldn't have been a surprise that he rushed to make an impression on the attractive new assistant. This was typical Max. "Can I help you, Mr. Eastwood?" she asked coldly. Max smirked. "Charlotte, I know you two have already met, but let me formally introduce you to my older brother, otherwise known as our evil overlord." Great. Manhor Kin had wasted no time moving in on Nordic Barbie.
Chapter 7. Charlotte. The mood had completely changed the second Reed entered the room. The vibe sort of reminded me of when I was in elementary school, and the teacher would suddenly turn off the lights to calm the rowdy class down. The fun was officially over. Suddenly, my palms were sweaty again. Taking a sip of the iced caramel macchiato Max had brought me from the Starbucks across the street, I tried to compose myself, but it wasn't working. Everything about Reed intimidated me. His stature, his bow tie and suspenders, his deep voice. But what I found most intimidating was the fact that I suspected he hated me. So, there was that. His brother Max, on the other hand, was the total opposite. Charming and down to earth. If this were high school and not corporate America, Max would be the class clown. Reed would be the cranky teacher. Max had managed to help me momentarily forget about Reed's chastisement earlier. But the reprieve was short-lived. Reed flashed Max a dirty look.
What are you doing in here?
What does it look like I'm doing? Welcoming our newest employee, which is more than I can say for you. Reed's eyes were like daggers. He looked even more perturbed that I'd told Max about what had happened out there. But I couldn't help it. Max had asked me what was wrong, and I'd decided to be upfront about it. What was wrong was Reed Eastwood. The younger Eastwood, on the other hand, had told me not to take anything his older brother said or did personally, that Reed could sometimes be tough even on him. He'd assured me that Reed was not as mean as he might appear. He'd just apparently had a rough year. It was really hard to imagine that he was the same person who'd penned that heartfelt blue note. Which made me wonder about Allison. Had she left him because of his attitude? It certainly wasn't out of the realm of possibility. I felt a twinge of guilt knowing about his failed wedding and that he had no clue how I'd really come to find him. Reed gestured toward his brother.
Don't you have, I don't know, to go get your shoes shined or something, Max?
Max crossed his arms.
Nope. Actually, I'm good. My schedule is clear for today. Big shocker. Come on, you know I'm president of the welcoming committee.
Max took a sip of his coffee and settled himself deeper into the black leather couch.
Funny how the welcoming committee seems to be very selective. I don't see you down in accounting welcoming the new bookkeeper who just started today. That was gonna be my next stop. Right.
Reed glared at his brother. The two of them were similar but different. Although they resembled each other and both had dark, good looks, Max had longer hair and seemed wilder and more carefree, with a shit-eating grin. Reed was put together and perpetually angry. The latter shouldn't have appealed to me, but there was something about the unattainable that I'd always found attractive. Through his heavy flirtation, Max made it clear that I could probably have him if I wanted him. And that sort of turned me off. On the other hand, I wasn't even sure if Reed hated me, yet I was captivated by his mysterious personality.
Well, I need to talk to Charlotte, Reed said. About actual business, unlike whatever it is you call what you were doing just now. Give us some privacy, please.
I sat up straighter in my chair as Reed closed the door behind his brother. Unlike Max, he didn't take a seat on the couch. No, this brother preferred to stand with his arms crossed while looking down his nose at me. And I wasn't putting up with it anymore. I stood, kicked off my heels into the air, and climbed up on top of my chair.
What do you think you're doing?
He squinted at me. Mimicking his posture, I folded my arms across my chest and glared at him over my nose. I'm looking down at you.
Get down.
No.
Miss Darling, get the hell down before you fall and get hurt. I'm sure your years of practicing balancing with a dog on the front of your surfboard has made you think you're capable of riding a chair with wheels, but I can assure you that falling and cracking your skull on the edge of the desk is going to hurt.
God, this man was such a pompous ass. If you want me to get down, then you'll need to take a seat to speak to me. He sighed.
Fine. Get down.
Just for shits and giggles, I pretended to wobble before I got down. Reed ran to my side to catch me. Well, what do you know? Mr. Meany has a chivalrous side. I couldn't hide my smirk. He scowled.
You did that on purpose.
I jumped down and extended my hand toward the chairs on the other side of my desk. Why don't we both have a seat, Mr. Eastwood? He grumbled something I couldn't make out, but sat. I folded my hands on my desk and flashed him my pearly whites. So, what is it you wanted to discuss?
Our trip tomorrow.
Iris had mentioned that I'd need to assist with a property showing out east tomorrow, but since I'd had no idea he was her grandson at the time, I still hadn't put the pieces together. Great. A whole day with a man who hates me. And here I thought I was getting a fresh start at this perfect new job. Instead, I'd have a man who couldn't wait for me to screw up, watching me like a hawk every second. What would you like to tell me about the trip? I took out a notepad and readied a pen.
Well, for starters, we leave at 5:30 sharp.
In the morning?
Yes, Charlotte. People tend to want to visit large estates with acreage during daylight hours.
You don't have to be so condescending. I'm new, you know.
I'm painfully aware of that fact, yes.
I rolled my eyes and wrote down 5:30 on my notepad, adding the word sharp in all caps with a double underline while he watched. 5:30 it is, I said. Will I be meeting you at the train station?
We'll be driving.
Okay.
I have a 7 a.m. phone call with a client in London. When Lorena and I go out for the day, I usually drive for the first hour or so. When we hit the end of the LIE, we grab some breakfast, and she drives the rest of the way so that I can make my calls and work on emails before arriving at the property.
I don't drive.
What do you mean you don't drive?
It means I don't have a license, so I won't be able to take a shift.
I wasn't asking the question literally. I was asking why a 20-something-year-old woman doesn't have her license yet.
I shrugged. I just don't. A lot of people who live in the city don't drive.
Have you never attempted to learn?
It's on my to-do list. Reed let out another sigh and shook his head.
Fine. I'll drive the entire trip. Email me your address and I'll pick you up. Be ready.
No. His brows rose.
No?
I was guessing that this man was not acquainted with being told no too often. I'll meet you at the office.
It's easier for you if I pick you up at home at that hour.
It's okay. I don't feel comfortable with you seeing where I live. Reed scrubbed his hands up and down his face.
You do know that I can go into the employee database and look up your address anytime I want, right?
That's fine, but knowing where I live and seeing where I live are two different things.
How so?
Well, I sat back in my chair and gestured to the outfit I wore. You know I'm naked under here, but that doesn't mean I have to show you my breasts. His full lips curved into a wicked smile as his eyes dropped down to the hint of cleavage that my shirt displayed.
I don't quite think those are the same thing, but whatever you say.
This man had the ability to unnerve me with one look. I straightened my spine and held my pen to the notebook again. What else?
We're showing the Bridgehampton estate to two families. This is a $7 million property, and our clients expect privacy. You'll need to position yourself at the front door so that no one enters the house during the showing. If the second family arrives too early, you're responsible for limiting them to the sitting room in the front that is off the main hallway.
Okay, I can handle that.
Have the caterer set up in that room so you can offer the clients something while they wait. Of course, you should offer both families something when they arrive, but it's also a discreet way of getting buyers who show up too early to move into a room while I finish a showing.
Caterer?
Citarella. They're in the vendor directory. You should download the contact information to your phone in case there are any issues.
I tilted my head to the side. How come the Bridgehampton prospective buyers get food and I didn't? My penthouse had a higher price tag. Reed smirked.
That would be because I told Lorena not to offer you any food since I'd already figured out that you were a fake.
Oh.
Yes. Oh. Please also dress accordingly. Nothing so tight that it's distracting.
I took offense to that comment. I was always dressed appropriately for work. Distracting? What's that supposed to mean? And distracting for who? Reed cleared his throat.
Never mind. Just wear something like you're wearing now. It's a work day and not a day trip to the Hamptons for fun. And it would be whom?
Who? What?
You said distracting for who. It would be whom.
I rolled my eyes. You went to one of those all-boys prep schools, didn't you? Reed ignored my question.
There's a glossy prospectus on the property in the file. You should become acquainted with the amenities so that you can answer any questions that might arise if I'm not available.
I jotted down a note. Okay. Anything else? He reached into his pants pocket and took out his cell.
Program your number in case there's a change of plans.
I started to type. First name, Charlotte. Last name, Darling. Company. I inwardly smirked as I ruminated over typing in D's Nuts, but then thought better of it. At least, I thought I'd inwardly smirked.
What are you doing wrong?
Reed craned his neck, peering over to look at his phone. Nothing.
And why did I see a flash of the devil on your face for a moment?
I extended my hand with the phone in it to him. My grandmother always said a lady gave an angel smile and kept her devilish thoughts to herself. He grumbled and stood.
No wonder you and Iris hit it off so easily.
Without saying he was finished with our conversation, Reed walked to the door.
By the way, I was looking down at my phone while walking earlier when I crashed into you. My grandmother said it was a vase in your hands that broke all over the floor. Bring me the receipt and I'll reimburse you for it.
I shook my head. No need. The supplies were only a few dollars. I made it. His brows drew down.
You made it?
Yes, I sculpt and make pottery. Well, I used to anyway. When Iris and I met in the bathroom, I'd mentioned that and said I missed doing it. She encouraged me to start back up, get back on track with things that make me happy. So I spent the weekend at the wheel making it. It had been a few years and, well, she was right. I need to focus on things that make me happy instead of dwelling on the past, which I can't change. Making that vase was the first step in the right direction for me. Reed stared at me funny for a long time, then turned around and walked out the door without a word. Such an asshole. A gorgeous, arrogant asshole who looked just as good going as he did coming. Later that afternoon, I noticed a blue note sitting on my desk. It really caught me off guard and made me pause for a moment before picking it up. That's because it was the same exact blue stationery as from inside of the wedding dress. Shivers ran down my spine. I'd almost forgotten about that beautiful note and the emotions I'd felt back when I first discovered it. I couldn't imagine the unpleasant man I'd come to know could ever be such a romantic. The Reed I encountered was pragmatic and cold. It made me even more curious about what had soured a man who was once so sweet. I sighed. A blue note from Reed, meant for me. This feels surreal. At the top were the embossed letters that read, "From the desk of Reed Eastwood." I took a deep breath and read the rest.
"Charlotte, if you have any further questions about Bridgehampton, feel free to air type them up for me. Reed."
Chapter 8. Reed. I pulled up to the light at the corner 15 minutes early. Charlotte was already there, standing out in front of the building. Since the light was red, it gave me some time to observe her from a distance. She looked at her watch and then glanced around at the sidewalk before walking to a nearby empty water bottle lying at the curb. She picked it up, then looked around some more. What the hell was she doing? Looking for bottles on the streets of Manhattan to return for a 5-cent deposit? This woman was definitely out there. Who had time for this crap? I watched as she walked over to something else, bent to collect it, then walked a few feet away and did it again. What the... The light turned green, so I proceeded to turn right and pull down the one-way street in front of our building. Charlotte took a cautious step back, then bent down to see who it was. The woman was collecting germ-infested treasure from a New York City street and was worried that the Mercedes S560 pulling up might be trouble. I rolled down my tinted window. "You ready?" "Oh, yes." She looked right, then left, and held up her pointer finger before wandering halfway down the block. "One second." My eyes followed as she walked to a garbage can and tossed in the crap she'd collected. Great. Not only does she clean city streets at the ass crack of dawn, but her ass in that skirt looks fantastic as she's doing it. She opened the passenger door and hopped in. "Good morning." Chipper, too. Perfect. I pointed to the glove compartment. "There are wipes in there." Her little nose wrinkled in confusion. I sighed. "To clean off your hands." That devilish smirk was back. Charlotte held up her hands, palms toward me, and waved them in front of my face, taunting, "Are you a germaphobe?" Just wiped them off. This was going to be one long-ass day. I pulled away from the curb and started toward the tunnel as she cleaned her hands. Neither of us said another word until we were out of the city and in line to pay the toll on the other side of Manhattan. "Don't you have one of those passes?" she asked, looking at the large sign overhead that read, "Cash only." "An easy pass, yes, but last time I used it was in my other car and I forgot it there." "Is your other car a work van or something?" "No, it's a Range Rover." "Why do you need two cars? Why do you ask so many questions?" "Jeez, you don't have to be so rude. I was just trying to make conversation." She stared out the window. The truth was, the Rover had been Allison's, but I wasn't opening that can of worms with this woman. There were two cars ahead of us in line, so I reached into my pocket to grab a 20 and realized I'd tossed my wallet into the glove compartment.
"Could you take my wallet out of the glove compartment for me?" She continued to stare out the window.
"How about using please in that sentence?" Frustrated and faced with only one car between me and the toll collector, I leaned over and grabbed my wallet myself. That position, unfortunately, also gave me a spectacular view of Charlotte's tanned, toned, shapely legs. I slammed the glove compartment door shut. Once we were through the toll and onto the Long Island Expressway, I decided to test how well our new assistant followed directions.
"How many bedrooms and baths does the property we're showing today have?"
5 bedrooms and 7 baths, although I have no idea why anyone would need 7 bathrooms.
Pool construction?
Gunite, heated, in the shape of a mountain lake with imported Italian tumbled marble decking and a waterfall.
She'd done her homework, although I'd lofted some softballs her way. Square footage?
It's 4,752 for the main house, an additional 650 for the pool house, which is also heated.
Number of fireplaces?
4 inside, 1 outside. The interior are all gas, outside is wood burning.
Appliances?
Viking, Gaggenau, and Sub-Zero. There's actually a separate Pro Series Sub-Zero refrigerator and freezer in the main kitchen and another combined unit in the pool house. And, in case you were wondering, the 3 refrigerators combined cost more than a new Prius. I checked.
I wanted her to get one wrong, so I slipped in a question that wasn't in the prospectus. And the interior decorating was done by who?
Carolyn Applegate of Applegate and Mason Interiors.
I had the strangest battle being waged inside of me. Even though I'd wanted to trip her up so she'd get one wrong, a part of me also inwardly fist-pumped that she'd gotten it right.
"And whom?"
she mumbled, her voice trailing off. "Pardon?"
"You said, and the interior decorating was done by who?" "It would be whom."
I had to pretend to cough to hide my smile. "Fine, I'm glad you've done your homework." We arrived at the Bridgehampton estate an hour before the first showing. The caterers were busy setting up. I needed to make a few phone calls and answer some emails, so I told Charlotte to tour the property to get herself acquainted with it. Half an hour later, I found her in the great room studying a painting. I walked up behind her. "The owner is an artist. None of the paintings are part of the sale."
"Yes, I read that." "She's pretty amazing. Did you know she goes around to nursing homes and listens to stories of how people met their spouses and then paints the image that she sees from hearing their love story? I wonder if this is one of them. It's so romantic."
The piece depicted a couple on a date in a restaurant, but the woman seemed to be looking at a different man, one sitting at a table across from her and sneaking a smile. What part is romantic? The part where the woman is eyeing a different guy than the one picking up the bill, or the part where the poor schlep she's checking out doesn't yet realize she'll be doing the same thing to him in a few months? I looked at the painting and silently sympathized with the unsuspecting fool. "Trust me, buddy, you're better off finding out now that she isn't loyal." Charlotte turned around and faced me.
"Wow, you're really a breath of fresh air, aren't you?"
"I'm a realist." Her hands went to her hips.
"Oh, really? Tell me something positive about me, then. A realist can see both positive and negative in people. The only thing you've seen in me since we met is negative."
Charlotte was short, even with the heels she had on. And from the close proximity in which we were standing, I had a view straight down her silky blouse. I didn't think she'd appreciate the positive thoughts I had at the moment. So I turned and walked away. "I'll be in the kitchen when the first clients arrive." Even assholes give a compliment now and again when due. And maybe I'd just been too tough on Charlotte. But something about her riled me up. She had an innocence that I had the urge to shatter, and I wasn't quite sure why. "You did a great job today." I locked up the front door and put my hand out for Charlotte to walk down the steps before me. Being her usual pain-in-the-ass self, she couldn't just take the compliment. Holding a hand to her ear, she smirked.
"What was that? I didn't quite catch it. You'll have to repeat yourself."
"Wise ass.
We walked toward the car together. I opened the passenger door and waited until she got in before closing it. Backing out of the long driveway, I asked, "How did you know all that stuff about Carolyn Applegate anyway?" The first client hadn't been initially sold on the interior design of the house, but after Charlotte name-dropped a dozen celebrities who'd recently had their homes redone by the same designer, the woman seemed to view the place through rosier glasses. That little soft sell she'd done might have changed the entire outcome of today's visit. Charlotte was unusual, that was for damn sure, but I had to admit my grandmother's instincts were usually right. She hadn't gotten to where she is today by accident. Iris reads people well, and it was starting to look like her read on Charlotte wasn't totally off base. Perhaps I'd let my feelings for another beautiful blonde taint my initial judgment somewhat. "Google," she said. I put in the name of the current owners and found them listed as clients on the designer's website. Then I stalked through some of the other clients. When I'd mentioned the designer had also done Christie Brinkley's place a few miles away, Mrs. Wooten's eyes lit up. So I called up the website and showed her that the photos from Christie's house had a similar fabric on the couch throw pillows. Well, it worked. You changed her initial view of the house. And with the second couple, pretending to like their little monster worked like a charm. She frowned. I wasn't pretending. The little boy was adorable. He was yelling the entire time. He was three. Whatever. I'm glad you could shut him up. She shook her head. You're going to make one unlucky woman a miserable husband and impatient father someday. No, I won't. Oh, are you nicer to women you date? No, I just don't plan on getting married or having children. My knuckles turned white from the death grip I held the steering wheel in. Charlotte was quiet, but a quick side glance at the expression on her face told me that I'd hit upon a topic she planned to analyze for the entire car ride home. I needed to nip that shit in the bud, so I turned the focus back to business. I'll need you to send a follow-up email from me to both couples. Thank them for coming out to view the property and secure a time that we can speak on the phone in the next week. Okay. Also, call down to Bridgestone Properties in Florida. Ask for Neil Capshaw. Tell him you're my new assistant and ask the status of the Wooten's Boca property they're selling. We refer a lot of business to their agency, so they'll be happy to share information. Wootens have a buyer for that, they might be more inclined to purchase the Bridgehampton summer home sooner rather than later. She'd taken out her phone and started to type notes into it. Okay, follow-up emails to buyers, call Capshaw, got it. There's also an appointment on my calendar for tomorrow that I need moved from 4 o'clock. See if you can push it back to 4:30. Okay, who is the 4 o'clock with tomorrow? Iris. Charlotte looked up from her typing in her phone. You want me to call Iris, your own grandmother, to change an appointment? Yes, you're my assistant. That's what assistants do. They make appointments, change appointments, and even cancel appointments on occasion. Did you not get the memo on that being part of your job function? But she's your grandmother. Not every relationship should be treated like business, even when it's business you're discussing. Shouldn't you call yourself? Why? Charlotte shook her head and exhaled. Never mind. Luckily for me, we drove in silence for a little while after that. Traffic was light, and we managed to make it to the expressway without Little Miss Sunshine telling me how to do my job. I was about to merge onto 495 when Charlotte crossed and uncrossed her legs in the passenger seat, and my eyes drifted from the road for a fraction of a second. It couldn't have been longer than that. Yet the next thing I knew, Charlotte was screaming and grabbing for something to hold on to. Watch out! Instinctively, I jammed on the brakes before I'd even had an opportunity to figure out what the hell I was watching out for. Everything that happened after that came in slow motion. I looked up. A furry little creature scurried across the road in front of us. My car came to a screeching halt, and I got a look at what I'd nearly hit. A squirrel. A damn squirrel. She'd scared the crap out of me because a rodent had crossed the road. Unbelievable. I was just about to give her a piece of my mind when a huge bang stopped me. Startled, it took me a minute to realize what had happened. Someone had hit us from behind.
Chapter 9. Charlotte. Shit! Reed spewed before exiting the car and slamming the door. He hadn't been able to move the car to the side of the road. Whatever happened had rendered it undrivable. My heart was pounding. It's okay. We're okay. The squirrel, too. Everyone is fine. Still in shock as I got out, I was vaguely able to register the muffled sounds of Reed arguing with the driver of the red SUV that had rear-ended us. "What can I do to help?" I asked.
"Call the police. We're going to need a report. Then look up the nearest tow company while I get this guy's insurance information."
He took something out of his wallet.
"Here's my AAA card. Tell them we're just off exit 70 in Manorville."
An hour and a half later, the police finally left, and a tow truck driver arrived and drove us to the nearest mechanic. After a long wait, the mechanic came out to see us. Unfortunately, the verdict on Reed's Benz was not good. Wiping some grease off his forehead, he said,
"You have a dented rear bumper that's rubbing against your tire. I should be able to get this fixed for you by tomorrow morning."
A look of concern flashed across Reed's face.
"Tomorrow morning? We need to get back to the city tonight." "This is the fastest service you're gonna get around here. Most people would probably tell you a couple of days or more."
Reed let out a deep sigh of frustration before raking his fingers through his hair. "How are we gonna get back?" I asked.
"I don't think we are going back tonight. You can call a car service for yourself and bill the company if you don't like the idea of staying here in town. Otherwise, book us a couple of rooms nearby. It doesn't make sense for me to rent a car and drive 2 hours back to the city if I have to pick up my car here in the morning."
The shop owner called Reed away to discuss payment, while I mulled over what I wanted to do. Even though he had a tendency to get under my skin, I didn't think that leaving my boss out here in the middle of Long Island was a way to make a good impression. I wanted to demonstrate that I was a team player, show him that I was dedicated to my job. There was a lot of potential for growth at the company, and I needed to use every opportunity to prove myself, especially given my rough start. What I had to do was clear. I got to work looking up some phone numbers for local hotels. Reed looked even more frustrated when he returned from the front desk.
"Did you decide what you're doing?"
"I booked us 2 rooms at the nearby Holiday Inn."
"Holiday Inn? Are there no other options?"
"I'm sure you're probably used to the Gansevoort or the Plaza, but I love the Holiday Inn. What's wrong with the Holiday Inn?" He muttered something, then said,
"Nothing. There's nothing..."
He hesitated, then took a deep breath.
"It's fine. Thank you."
"I've also ordered us an Uber. It will be here in a few minutes." He smiled through gritted teeth.
"Great."
I could tell he was pissed at this whole situation. The thought of spending more time with me than necessary probably annoyed him. It pissed me off, too, because we'd been getting along pretty well today. I was actually surprised by how well we worked together. This situation put a damper on what was otherwise a really productive day. Unfortunately, the Uber driver that showed up to get us drove a Mini Cooper. Reed and I were barely able to fit in the back seat. He grumbled under his breath as we squished together. His long legs were cramped. The driving was erratic, too. Sharp turn after sharp turn, I was thrust into Reed's hard body. I tried not to think about the fact that my own body reacted with every bit of contact. I spoke to the driver. "Can you stop at that Walmart up ahead? I promise I'll be quick." Reed's frustration was through the roof.
"What do you need at Walmart?"
"A few personal care items, a bathing suit, and some snacks for the room." His eyes widened.
"A bathing suit?"
"Yes, the hotel has a heated indoor pool." I smiled.
"What are you, 10? This isn't a vacation. Shall we do Chuck E. Cheese for dinner?"
He was so condescending sometimes. "Adults can enjoy swimming too, you know. It's a great way to relax and unwind from a stressful day. And living in the city, I rarely have the opportunity to swim in a pool. So you can damn well bet I'm gonna get my money's worth at this hotel. Well, your money's worth." I paused before exiting the car. "Do you want anything?"
"No."
"I'll be back in 5, I said before slamming the door. 15 minutes later, Reed looked miffed when I returned to the car with my stuff.
"That was not 5 minutes."
I'm sorry, the man ahead of me in line was arguing with the cashier about the price of nose hair clippers.
Are you serious?
I couldn't make that up if I tried. Reed let out an exaggerated sigh. As mad as he looked, he was still so gosh darn handsome. Sometimes even more so when he was angry. He was dressed a bit more casually today, in a navy blue polo that fit snug across his broad shoulders, and a pair of khakis. He looked damn sexy. I dug into the Walmart bag and took out the candy I'd bought. Opening it, I stripped off a piece of the strawberry licorice and held it up in front of his face. Twizzler? He shook his head and chuckled, finally seeming to concede to the situation he was forced to endure. To my surprise, rather than mock me again, he took the Twizzler and began to devour it. His teeth sunk into it so good as he pulled that I could practically feel the bite in my flesh. I shivered. When he finished, he stuck out his hand in a silent request for more. For the first time, it was evident that he had a lighter side buried beneath that stuffy exterior. That made me hopeful about the possibility of a better working relationship with him. The mini screeched to a halt, letting us out at the Holiday Inn. Reed got us our keys, and just as he was paying, his wallet slipped out of his hands, falling onto the marble floor. A photo that must have been tucked into it lay on the ground. I recognized it immediately as the engagement photo from his Facebook profile. Oh my God, he still carries her photo. Why? This was the first time I truly realized that the same man who'd written the blue note was still somewhere inside of him. Maybe he really hadn't changed all that much. Maybe he was just pretending to have changed. I needed to know more, but had to act nonchalant so that he didn't suspect I knew anything I wasn't supposed to. Bending down to pick up the wallet and photo, I played dumb as I handed everything to him. Who is that woman?
It's no one.
My heart was pounding as we made our way to the elevator. We took it up to our floor in silence. He walked me to my room, which was three doors down from his. That was it? He was going to just pretend that he was carrying a photo in his wallet of someone who meant nothing to him? He expected me to believe that? My excitement at the prospect of figuring out a missing piece of the Reed Eastwood puzzle caused me to push further. I don't believe you when you say that was a picture of no one.
Excuse me?
The words vomited out of me. I stalked you once on Facebook. This was your engagement photo. Her name is Allison. I know it's none of my business, but that's how I know that you're lying. Oh, shit. What is wrong with me?
You what?
He spewed. I'm sorry, but you can't tell me you've never done that. Looked someone up?
No, I haven't. I'm not a career stalker like certain people.
I was almost afraid to ask. What happened to her? He ignored my question.
This is out of line.
I often wonder if she's the reason you are the way you are.
Excuse me? The way I am?
Closed off and bitter. You seemed so happy in that photo. And then there was the blue note. That was what I wanted to say. I had just dug myself into a deeper hole. His eyes darkened, and this wasn't boding well for me.
You're crossing a very dangerous line, Charlotte.
Despite his harsh words, I somehow thought if I maybe shared the fact that I could relate to getting my heart broken, that maybe he'd open up a little. I don't know what happened with you and her, but I understand what it's like to be hurt by someone you cared about, or thought you cared about. Maybe if you talk about it, you can let out some of the anger. His voice echoed through the long hallway.
The only person making me angry is you. You've been nothing but trouble from the moment you weaseled your way into my life.
He shut his eyes as if he immediately regretted the harshness of his words. But it was too late. The damage was done. Even though I felt ashamed for putting him on the spot like that, his continuing to insult me was not acceptable. I wasn't going to sit around and take it tonight. Shit, I wasn't even on the clock anymore. Screw this. I'm done being spoken to that way. I'm out of your hair for the rest of the evening. We can meet for the continental breakfast in the morning. Starts at 7 a.m. It's free. Not that you care. I could feel tears forming in my eyes, but I fought them. I refused to let him see how upset his words made me. Reed walked a little way down the hall to his room. He stood in front of his door, watching me as I kept unsuccessfully scanning my room card. A red error light repeatedly flashed. Are you kidding me right now? Way to make a swift exit from this scene. Footsteps approached me. Humiliated, I refused to look at him. He took the key card from me, and the brief touch of his hand didn't go unnoticed. The door beeped, flashing a green light as he opened it. Of course he was able to get it on the first try. I still wouldn't look at him as I whispered, "Thank you." He started to walk away when I stopped him. "Wait." I'd bought 3 packages of Twizzlers. Taking an unopened one out of the Walmart bag, I handed it to him before disappearing inside and shutting the door.
Chapter 10. Reed. My thoughts were racing in the shower as the water poured down on me. No amount of hotel soap could wash away how shitty I felt. Then she had to go and hand me those damn Twizzlers, making me feel like an even bigger asshole. Who does that? Who gives candy to someone who just treated them like a piece of shit? Charlotte Darling does. Bright-eyed, bushy-tailed, spirited, blindingly optimistic Charlotte Darling. And I'd done nothing but try to dampen her spirits from the moment we'd met to ensure that none of her fucking sparkle rubbed off on me. Her bringing up Allison forced me to put up my guard worse than ever, because the only truthful answer to her question about what happened would have required me opening up to her. Only immediate family knew the truth about what had gone down between my former fiancé and me. I needed to keep it that way. I'd honestly forgotten I even had that photo stashed away in my wallet, but I understood how it must have made me look, like a sentimental sap. Maybe I was one before Allison made me lose my faith in love. Charlotte must have figured my carrying the photo gave her a ticket to try to get me to spill my guts. With a towel wrapped around my waist and my hair soaking wet, I lay back on the bed and pondered just falling asleep that way. But I hadn't eaten anything else besides that entire package of Twizzlers. I had to leave the room to get food. At least, that's what I told myself. The real reason was that I couldn't shake Charlotte from my mind. Maybe I'd sleep better tonight if I apologized for lashing out at her. I put my clothes back on before venturing a few doors down to Charlotte's room. Taking a deep breath in, I knocked on her door a few times. Several seconds passed with no answer. I knocked again. Still no answer. Well, without a car, she couldn't have gone very far. I took the elevator down to the lobby and peeked into the sports lounge, but there was no sign of Charlotte. The only other restaurant within walking distance was a Ruby Tuesday. As I exited the front sliding doors of the Holiday Inn, drizzle hit my face. Raindrops glistened on the cars as I walked across the windy parking lot to the restaurant. Once inside, I saw that the hostess station was empty. It was late, probably close to closing time, so there were merely a few patrons. It only took a few seconds before my eyes landed on Charlotte. She was sitting in a corner booth, looking pensive as she chewed on the end of her pen. She then began writing something on a napkin. I chuckled, thinking that maybe the words were expletives and that she was cursing me. I knew I needed to apologize, but in that moment I much preferred just watching her without her knowing it. I could put my guard up as much as I wanted in front of her, but lying to myself was a lot harder. It was impossible. There was no part of me that truly disliked this woman. I only disliked the fact that she reminded me of all the things I was trying to forget. It was more than just her prying that got to me. Plain and simple, the joyful attitude that always resonated from Charlotte reminded me of a time in my life when I was happy. That was painful to think about, particularly the fact that a part of me still yearned for that happiness. I made my way toward her and decided to bust her balls. Did they run out of coloring books? She jumped. Whatever she was writing down, she was so into it that she hadn't noticed me standing just to her right. She flipped the napkin over. "What are you doing here?" I heard there was an all-you-can-eat salad bar, and I could use a drink. "And a chill pill." "I can't mix the two, so I'll settle for a beer." I sat down across from her. "Am I allowed to join you?" "I'm not sure if I like the idea of you trying to weasel your way into my dining experience, Eastwood." "Weasel?" She was using my own terminology against me. Fuck,
I deserved it.
Sucking up my pride, I forced out an apology. I'm sorry that I used that term in reference to you earlier, and I'm sorry that I lost my temper.
You could have just said you didn't want to talk about it. You don't have to be so mean about everything.
Her face was red. She was really angry.
You're right.